Hello and welcome to Reality TV. It's me, Jody, and I am back post-Super Bowl with a real big show for you today, although I only have three shows to talk about. I have a double header of 60 Days In because I didn't talk about it last week, Love After Lockup, and of course, a two-hour episode of Married at First Sight. Now, I did not watch the Super Bowl last night because I spent hours watching Married at First Sight and Love After Lockup, catching up on it. I heard the halftime show was very good. I'll have to go back and watch it. And a congrats is in order for the Kansas City Chiefs. I really didn't get into it this year. There are certain years I get into the Super Bowl. Now, I always eat as if I am at a full-blown Super Bowl party. I'm not that fucking crazy. I'm going to take advantage of the snacks and all that kind of good stuff. But I had work to do. I needed to see what was going on with Clint and Tracy and that douchebag Zach and my girl Mindy. Now, before I get into probably Married at First Sight first, couple things that we need to talk about. First up, coming up this week on Patreon, there are quite a few blind items that I really need to discuss with you. Some stories that are in the news and or People magazine that I've been saving up for the past couple weeks. We'll discuss that all over on Patreon. And remember, there's that special offer until February 15th. If you sign up at the $15 a month level, which is normally a $20 level, you'll get a super cute mug. It says Stay Salty. It's got the little Morton Salt girl. Plus, you're going to get all the perks at the $5 and $10 levels. So that's early ad-free episodes, like the episode you're listening to right now. Bonus episodes, and I have over 100 bonus episodes right now on everything from documentaries and guests, true crime, all that kind of good stuff. That's at patreon.com/realitytvpod. And, oh, speaking of which, March 27th, if you are in Chicago, my girl Jennifer, Christine, Sharita, we are all going to be there. We are going to see our ladies from Moms and Murder podcast. Melissa and Mandy from Moms and Murder are going to be at City Winery Chicago. You can just go to their website. Tickets are available, but they're selling out quickly. So if you are going to be in Chicago, grab yourself a ticket. We will make a night of it. I mean, wine, murder, what more could you want for a perfect mom's ladies night out? And you're supporting the Lady Pod Squad, so let's do this thing. Now, coming up this week on Total Request Podcast, oh my God, it's going to be a good one. Amanda and I are going to recap a classic Girls Next Door episode. It just brings you back to a simpler, not yet hashtag Me Too time. I know it was pretty terrible, but it was also pretty fucking wonderful. So check that out. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. Also, a brand new Bold Lip Happy Hour episode is going to be coming out this Friday. Carrie, Jess, and I are coming at you with an all new episode. So make sure you subscribe. I'll put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. A huge thank you to Maria, Tiffany, Carolyn, Kayla, Veronica, Kim, and Sarah. Thank you for being my newest Patreon subscribers. And some of you lucky gals are going to be getting your Stay Salty mug pretty soon. So thank you for joining us and get in on the fun. Go to patreon.com/realitytvpod and treat yourself. Get yourself something nice. Put my voice in your ears and let me say all the shitty things that you are too good of a person to say yourself. All right, now get ready for it because I'm going to go right into Married at First Sight. I have a lot to say. So we are in episode 5, Trouble in Paradise, and we are at the Westin Playa Bonita in Panama. Hopefully they're going to be cleaning their pool and doing some sort of chlorine treatment because those pools were disgusting. But first, let's talk about something even more disgusting, and that is that fucking asshole, douchebag motherfucker, Zach. These two, Mindy and Zach, wake up, and there's a whole lot of words and a whole lot of dark areola. Mindy is expressing how the past few days have been hard, and she's dealing with the subtle or not so subtle rejection from Zach. And Zach responds with a lot of words. And trust me, I tried my damnedest to follow what he was saying here. This is when they were laying in the bed and he had his nipples out. But all I heard was journey, revelations. It all meant nothing. He needs to use less words, less ego, and make more sense. Okay, more on them later. I'm going to kind of go through the couples until they all met up at the pool. So Jessica and Austin, they're giggling over iguanas this time, and Jimmy bit him. These two are like two tickle me Elmos, just crushing on each other, falling in love. I'm going to need to get a helium tank or something, suck a balloon before the end of the season because this cackling, it's a lot. Now, Katie and Derek, I really don't want to like them because they are so fucking cute, but they're so fucking cute. They're talking about one of my favorite things in the world, cheese. God bless the animals who provide us so much joy and provide me so much more cellulite. So thank you, Katie and Derek, for putting the craving in my mind before I made my taco dip for Super Bowl Sunday. But truly, I mean, these two are adorable. They're bringing goat cheese and probably goat yoga back because I'm sure there's somewhere at Playa Bonita that's got the goats. Hopefully they're not near the disgusting pool. I just realized that people who do not watch Married at First Sight probably have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. But if you watch the show, that pool, you guys, come on. All it takes is a little brush and a little bleach. They could have cleaned that shit up. All right, Taylor and Brandon. Taylor wakes up Brandon. And this becomes the whole plot line for this episode. She's got the little couples cam going on, you know, like producers tell them to do. And she's saying that it's kind of cute. He's snoring and he's sleeping. And Brandon rolls over, bolts up, sprints out of the room like he's either really pissed off or maybe he's got to go, I don't know, take a morning dump or he's got to rip a really nasty fart out on the balcony, whatever. Taylor is totally confused, as are all of us, because he didn't say anything. And then he continues the entire day to ignore her and not talk to her. And I felt so bad for her because most of us have been in that situation where you're trying to feel out the situation with either your partner or maybe you're on a first date and you're trying to flirt. You know there's something going on, but you're trying to break the tension. But freaking Brandon will not budge an inch. And I felt bad for Taylor because, of course, then she's going to feel like the asshole because he's pushing her away. I mean, is his ego that fragile that he can't take a little likely obligated by a production couples cam? He's got to get the fuck over himself. And I hate myself that I really liked him at the beginning of the season. Now, Mika and Michael. They're still not speaking to one another since this big blow up that happened on the plane that we didn't see. This is where we get the couples crossover pool time. The first time they're seeing each other this episode. So, of course, Mika's going to have to answer questions because she's there alone. But she keeps very quiet. She's keeping it very general, not answering much besides he slept in another room. So the other couples are now sharing how they're all getting along. Katie and Derek, perfect. We have Jessica and Austin, who for some reason right now, I don't know why it's striking me this way, but I feel like I want to call them the Olsen twins. They have a little Olsen-ish to them. They could be like Olsen cousins. Let's just go with Olsen twins. So the Olsen twins are doing good, holding hands, giggling. Then we get to Zach and Mindy. We find out that Mindy and Zach use the same nighttime facial lotion, and that makes me want to kick Zach's hipster hat right off his fucking head. And then we get to the ladies in the pool. So Mindy fills the ladies in that Zach has expressed his lack of attraction to her, which is already painful to feel, but then you have to say it out loud to other people, especially when you're looking at cute little Katie over here who's just flying high on love. I actually love that Mindy was honest about it. She was subtly dissing Zach's cockiness about being a model, and they all hint at him being short, and I fucking love it because it serves him right. Now then Mika jumps in, avoiding all questions about herself, and she asks who's consummated their marriage, and she guesses Jessica and Austin have, and Taylor and Brandon. Now right here, I immediately started doubting Mika's observation skills. I was already skeptical of her take on what happened on the plane. I'm not saying she made it up. I'm not saying that, what's his name, Michael is perfect. I just don't think he went straight into, hey, Mika, by the way, you have to have sex with me this week. I just don't think it went down that way. And her assuming that Jessica and Austin have had sex and Taylor and Brandon have had sex before Katie and Derek, I think you need to check your prescription on your glasses because nothing about Jessica and Austin's body language says we've had sex. I mean, they're barely hand-holding, and that seems like third base for both of them. Now, Taylor and Brandon, I think they're putting on an outward show of getting along more than they actually are, but we'll get to them later because there's a lot of crazy shit with that. Now, meanwhile, the ladies are in the pool, the men are in the manhunt, you know, like bros, just broing out like bros do. And Zach starts talking about how building attraction and so on and therefore and such as. And then Brandon, motherfucking Brandon, says he and Taylor walk around naked. You know how them ladies be around me, right, bros? You know I may get lucky tonight. And then fist pumps Zach. Fuck you, Brandon. Fuck you. You just spent the last few hours pouting like a little bitch because Taylor filmed you while you were sleeping, and now you're gonna go all bro time with fucking Zach? I hate him. I hate Brandon. I hate Zach. And then we get to Michael. Poor guy, he's just sitting there. And he doesn't even have a friendship with Mika, so what the fuck is he supposed to say? I actually respect the fact that he didn't air all their dirty laundry per se. Maybe because his laundry was dirtier than Mika's. I don't know. This is why I really wish we had that actual conversation that was on the plane. We need to know what was said. Someone, maybe with a smartphone, who happened to be on that flight. We need the kind of footage that John and Molly had. Remember that? That's what Michael should have done. Taken out his phone, recorded it, or Mika. Now, speaking of Mika, she gets a phone call from Pastor Cal. Oh, good, perfect timing. Just what a woman wants in a moment when she's not feeling validated by a man. She needs Pastor Cal to mansplain shit for her. First of all, you need to talk. The point of these first few days is to get you two together so you can really talk. Your focus is to get to know him, Mika. Try to start over. You're on your honeymoon. Have fun. Oh, amazing advice. I mean, seriously, you guys, Lifetime is paying him for this shit, and that's what pisses me off. I mean, he pretty much says the same thing to Michael, too. Again, it's very personalized counseling here. Forget everything that happened, start all over, and I don't know, go parasailing or some shit. So finally, the two sit down to talk. That really is what they need to do, and he should have just been direct about it, maybe even given them some questions or a script to follow because it didn't even go that well once they sat down. Now, I'm going to probably make some enemies here, much like I did when I took Molly's side against John's. Listen, I'm just here to snark on the show. It's not as if I'm actually losing sleep over this shit. I really want to like Mika. I do. I mean, I would be upset if someone demanded sex from me like she claimed he did. Again, we don't know what really happened. At least in the moment where they're sitting down at the table there. I thought Michael was being open with her and honest with her. He admitted that he needed to communicate better. He said he should have given her a heads up about the ring. I mean, at the very least, he's here. He wants to make it work. I feel like Mika just wants to be right. And in order for her to be right, he has to be wrong and she has to hold a grudge and she is not letting anything go. It's almost like she gaslights him in order to say, nope, I disagree with that. Well, what do you think about this? Nope, I'm not willing to compromise on that. I already told you I don't like that. Why do you do it? No, I'm not saying she should shorten her list of what she wants in a man at all. But if she is saying that he needs to compromise, stop doing certain things, where is her compromise? What is she willing to give and take on? You know, she's not communicating either if she's talking with everyone else except Michael about their problems. Okay, now let's talk about Taylor and Brandon. Smart, beautiful, happy Taylor is getting dissed left and right from Brandon. She says she went up to the room, got his favorite beer, trying to, you know, reach out a little olive branch, some hops and barley, if you will. And he refuses it, but 10 minutes later, he's at the pool with the same beer. So he's just being a dick on purpose, trying to push her away on purpose, and she does not deserve that shit. This whole attitude problem, this I don't see you, I'm not talking to you, immature shit on Brandon's behalf carries on the entire day. And then later, when Taylor confronts him about it, because the cameras are there witnessing him still fucking pouting, he says he had a panic attack. Now, the only reason I doubt the panic attacks, which are a real thing, I totally understand it. My brother gets them horribly. I have bad anxiety, not so much the panic attacks. I get it. It's a real thing. But I doubt if he was having a true panic attack Because if those cameras were there, you don't think that crew would be all over filming him having a panic attack? Think about the other shit that they have filmed. They would not have turned those cameras off for a fucking second. They live for that kind of stuff. I think he was just being a spoiled little pouty brat, and Taylor wasn't going to deal with it, so he was kind of forced to apologize. And this whole damn get over it. Bitch, you were moping around all fucking day. You seemed fine with your buddies when you were fist pumping, bumping, whatever, with Zach saying, oh, I get to see her naked. I might get lucky tonight. So you weren't that panicked or worried about it. He's got to get over that shit. So, like I said, he ends up apologizing, but only after Taylor refused to back down. Ugh. And then they go to the sloth farm. Pass. That is the last thing on my list next to swimming with dolphins that I would ever want to do on a vacation. Animals scare me. They're out in the wild. They don't want to be in captivity. And if their way out of that cage is clawing my face off, that's their path to freedom, they're going to take it, and I can't blame them for it. Now, Jessica and Austin, they get this couple's massage, and all she's concerned about is her body being covered up. And I can't rip on her at all for that, because that is absolutely what I would be doing. Cover up my ass. I don't want it on Lifetime TV for Kingdom Come. So after this couple's massage, they sit down, and Jessica immediately points out that they're not laughing or being awkward right now. It's the first time we're not laughing. And then he asks if he can have a kiss. And the kiss, well, it made me not want to wonder, but of course I did. What is their sex life going to be like if she refuses to do anything but duck lip kiss? Did you see that? He had open lips over her duck lips, and he was just like sucking hers. It was really bad. I feel bad if there's any teenage girls or boys watching this, because they'll be traumatized. They will not know what kissing is, and they will probably think sex is what I thought it was until I was far too old. Let's just say when people said hot dog bun, I took it as like a literal, you know, like it's not, like things are laying in, not in. Okay, moving on. That was way too much information. Zach and Mindy, we are now on a crab-infested beach. Weston, Playa Bonita, right after you finished bleaching down that pool, you want to go rake your sand or some shit? Because this is not good PR for this place. But still, it didn't make me cringe as much as Zach does during this scene. I love Mindy. Good for her for insisting on having this one-on-one about what all his words mean instead of going out with a group, because you know he feeds on that fucking attention from a crowd, and that's why he didn't want to go out with Mindy one-on-one. And she has got his number, you guys. She nailed it when she said he does a lot of talking without actually saying anything. He talks in circles. He thinks he's saying something really deep and meaningful, but all he does is use words like connection, depth of attraction, foundation. Okay, keep scrolling through Twitter for hashtags, you fucking dork. There's so many points I want to discuss. So, okay, I have a list. Oh yeah, the list is coming out. It might be a little choppy here, but listen, content is more important than flow. Especially when I get angry and I gotta keep my thoughts straight. Number one, Mindy asks him, so how was your day? And Zach says, it was fun. Silence. Okay, how about Mindy? How was your day? But no, he doesn't, because it's all about fucking Zach. So Mindy just starts in, she's like, okay, well, the highlight of my day, since you are not asking, was talking with the other couples and the ladies about what was going great and not so well. And Zach gets this huge shit-eating grin on his face, and he says, and this is a quote, by the way, the rest of the time here I wrote down fucking quotes, it took me forever, as you can imagine, but it's worth it. You've got to hear this. So Zach responds to Mindy about talking with the other couples. He goes, I can't help but wonder to know what that was like. And he gets a smile, bites his lip, stares off into the distance, because he thinks he's going to hear good shit about himself. Like, everyone's going to say, oh my God, he's so hot. Is he like the nicest guy ever? No, they really didn't, you fucking asshole. I can't wait till you hear this. And then they start talking about attraction and looks. And Zach says, well, if it were just about my looks, you'd be more into me. Take a moment here. Can you imagine someone saying that to you in real life, an actual person, not written in a script, not trying to be a dick, thinking he's being sincere? If it were about my looks, you'd be more into me. He is not that good looking even. I think he's average at best. He just has a huge ego. He's got stupid hair that is kind of big, so he stands out more. That's it. So then Mindy asks him if he thinks he uses his looks to his advantage or leads with his looks, and he says no, but then again, he smiles and stares off again, just mentally jerking off to himself. And I don't even think Mindy was trying to have a super deep conversation. I think she was just trying to get him to make a clear, concise point. So let me proceed. Mindy asks him, do you care about me building an attraction to you? Again, because Zach thinks it's all about him, that every woman would just die to be married to him. Here is Zach's answer, and I quote, so to answer that question is, when you ask me these things, you ask me about my side and how I feel. You know, I like style, I like looks, so as far as like dressing well, and the thing is, from the first impression attraction, it just doesn't matter for me. I mean, you came down the aisle and I was like, she's super pretty. She has dark hair, dark eyes. These are pretty qualities. Everything together collectively is an observation. It's just a matter of, that's why I openly say, here's how you build an attraction. It's an assumption that you've clarified that looks don't matter to you. So I've heard what you say. So if you ask me how I feel, do I have an attraction? My answer is going to be X based on my observations. I'm just directly answering your question so far as, to which Mindy, my girl, clarifies, okay, what I'm asking is, do you worry about how you're coming off to me? Zach replies, right, so, and then right away we get a cutaway and Zach says he's never had, and I quote, so much serious conversation and discussion in my entire life without some type of back element of being silly and relaxed. Those are things I'm fishing for, and I'm struggling to find that. Now, apparently, Zach has never talked about death, life, anything serious at all without cracking a joke and being silly, fucking asshole. And apparently, Zach finds this silliness and relaxation in a remote village because he finally tries his best to be flirty with Mindy because he realizes Mindy is smart and he knew that he would end up looking like an asshole just like he is now. He is calculated. I don't trust this dick for a second. Back to a cute couple. Let's have a moment where I can catch my breath and settle down my heart attack. Derek has planned a little romantic surprise for Katie. There's rose petals, a little 19 Crimes Cabernet. It is actually very delicious. And he's got dessert. Super cute. When I watch these two, I feel like Derek is the little brother I never had, and Katie is one of you guys, one of the baddest apples, and I'm cheering for you and rooting you on. I don't really want to see you hook up because it's like, ew, little brother, but I like it. It's adorable. Now, then we get to this wrap-up dinner. All the couples are back together, and Mika is still fired up, and she's still hurt. Michael is there. They're obviously not sitting next to one another, and he's coming off like an ass. I told you, I'm an equal opportunity asshole to everyone. He does look like a dick because he's refusing to put his ring on, which really is not that big of a deal. I think he just wants to prove his point here, and it's the one tiny bit of control that he has over Mika because he fucked everything else up. So he's sinking his feet in even deeper on this, and I don't think that's that good of an idea. Just put the fucking ring on. Who cares? But now let's talk about Katie's vagina. Katie and Derek had sex, everyone. Katie, how's that vagina? Did it take a pounding? Oh my God, they had sex. She loves sex. I mean, really, can they at least try to be subtle or keep it classy? I mean, I'm a classy lady. I don't like talking about those things. I like to keep it clean. No swearing, no cursing, no talking about sex. But honestly, I thought it was a lot. That was a lot to take on at the table. It actually didn't surprise me, or wouldn't surprise me, if Jessica and Austin already consummated their marriage. I think Jessica actually does some freaky stuff in the bedroom. Like, she lets him put his hand on her knee. Uh-oh. Just kidding. I actually do think she gets super kinky and really giggly. Like, if there's a bunch of dogs that just start barking or running towards the resort. Because her voice and her laugh has hit all-time high soprano key. Well, you know, Austin. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My dog is barking for real. Even Scout knows that Jessica can hit those high notes. All right. So we end the episode with Brandon and Taylor taking this toddler size bath, which I am so glad I have the opportunity. This is a PSA here. All-inclusive resorts. If you are renovating, if you are building, yeah, I know the all-inclusive resorts, they are big fans of reality TV. They all listen to this before they start hiring their subcontractors. Please, for the love of God, make the bathtubs bigger. Most of us are Americans, all right? We have thick thighs, huge asses. We don't fit in the bathtub. We had Taylor and Brandon sitting in the bathtub, two slender adults who look like they are sitting in a Lilliputian-sized tub. And you think that normal-sized adults, okay, I may be a little pleasantly plump. I'm big-boned, okay? You think two adults that are my size or bigger are going to fit in that thing? And if we are going in solo, you think that we want to look like we're sitting in a normal-sized bathtub? Like, I want to look like I'm tiny. Oh, my God. I need someone to help me swim in here. I'm so small and petite. Build them bigger. All right, Costa Mesa, wherever the fuck this is, Punta Mita, whatever. Okay, also we have, oh, Zach ending up being not so critical of Mindy for 9.5 minutes, but we know that doesn't last because next week, spoiler, he thinks Mindy should get a boob job. What a nice guy. Prayer hands, namaste, douchey hipster hat. I can't stand this guy. But I'm going to sweeten things up for all of us with a quick word from my sponsor, Baked by Melissa. Oh my gosh, so delicious. And then I will be back with Love After Lockup and 60 Days In. February is for lovers and lovers of delicious things. Why not celebrate Valentine's Day or any day, let's be honest, with truly adorable bite-sized cupcakes from Baked by Melissa. My daughter was freaking out when I ordered my Baked by Melissa cupcakes because she knows Melissa from Food Insider. If your kids watch YouTube, you know what I'm talking about. We were all excited to get the pink and white box with the iconic cupcake logo on it. And once we opened it up, we saw this amazing gift box and it has a fun, eclectic design on it. And then you open up that box and cue the angels and my stomach, come to mama, these cupcakes. Just in time for Valentine's Day, there's white chocolate cookies and cream, red velvet, milk chocolate with actual Hershey on top, dulce de leche, my personal favorite, oh my God, the caramel inside, and chocolate caramel brownie. That was a close second for me. Now, these are not just any old mini cupcakes like you get at the grocery store. You know what I'm talking about, where they put way too much frosting. It's a dry, gross cupcake. This is the real deal. Freshly baked. And if you're gluten-free or vegan, Melissa's got you covered. Don't worry. Baked by Melissa even offers nut-free flavors. You're going to want to try every single flavor. Trust me. Order a box for your partner, your mom, your best friend, or yourself. Just make sure to send me those dulce de leches, okay? Baked by Melissa offers 1 and 2 day shipping nationwide. So order now or by February 12th to make sure your cupcakes arrive by Valentine's Day. If you're not a fan of cupcakes, don't worry. I spied some macarons you'll swoon over that maybe made their way into my cart for my order next week. Remember, the last day for standard shipping for Valentine's Day delivery is February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern. I told you, they're making sure they're fresh for you. This Valentine's Day, send your loved ones the perfect gift. Baked by Melissa. Go to bakedbymelissa.com and use promo code REALITV to get 15% off your order. Take advantage of this special offer just for my podcast listeners. That's 15% off at bakedbymelissa.com, promo code REALITV. All right, Love After Lockup, let's do this. We are week 4, rules and receipts, and we're going to start with Tony and Angela because I want to discuss a few things right off the bat. First of all, I don't believe for a second that Angela is actually making Tony sleep outside, not even for a night nor a minute. No way in hell Angela has that kind of willpower. Think about it. If she did, she would not be sucking down thousands of dollars in nicotine every single year. These two are playing us to stay on the show, and we must take a stand. Also, why does Tony posture himself like he has a shiv up his ass? It has driven me crazy every single episode, and part of it I thought was because he was buttoning that top button on his shirt, but that's not it. Like, I think there is something from prison still impacted up in, you know, the number two hole. I'm serious. He walks very slowly. He talks slowly, never breaks a smile. He's always sweaty, like he's going to have emergency shits at any given moment. His back, neck are exactly 180 degrees at all time. Something's going on. Maybe he needs a chiropractor to pop it or something. If that's allowed on Angela's list, that fucking list. She writes out all the things that Tony is not allowed to do. Really, the only thing he is allowed to do is maybe work, because there's even limitations on that. Basically, he can sit home, watch her smoke, and then service her when and how she likes it. And I just made myself sick even thinking about it. It really is comical, though, if you look at this sign hanging in the middle of an unassuming kitchen office. No prostitutes, no money, no phone, as if this guy is actually going to follow through on it. And to make him sign it, it's not a legal document. What kind of Senate trial does Angela think she can use this sheet of paper as evidence for? Nice try. These two are pulling a scam on all of us, and I will not have it. I will not have it. All right, Lacey and Shane, this adorable couple, so cute. What mom doesn't want to make her big boy his lunch on his first day? She's making his little Sammy just the way he likes it. No crust, whittle triangles, please. She's probably got some Bugles packed in there. Maybe a Capri Sun, a juice box. And you know Shane can get down with some gushers. I guarantee there was gushers, maybe a fruit by the foot. But that might be too much effort for him. I think he just opens up the gushers and goes full on in. And a string cheese. And he eats it just like Ryan on The Office does. Just goes for it, bites in, doesn't even do the string because he's a badass, you guys. He's got a job. He's got a sweet new backpack that he has not yet loosened the straps on. This backpack was riding, like his haircut, a high and tight on the back. And Lacey is doing nothing to squash the appearance of it looking like she's the mother hen sending off her little ducklings. Wait, ducklings hen? That's not right. You get the picture. Now, I suppose we should all be proud of Shane because he did find a job. But I have serious concerns. He says his job is at the shipyard. It's a fire watch job. So I watch that nothing catches on fire. And if it does, I put it out and make sure nothing gets burnt down. I don't trust Shane with blowing out a fucking candle in my direction, let alone tampering actual flames on a shipyard. I really, truly hope this is a helper job. You know, like Nicole on 90 Day Fiancé working at Starbucks. Way to mix that whole milk in a cup, barista Nicole. Wink. Seriously, you want Shane rescuing you from a shipyard fire? I see any man running at me with bangs and an eyebrow ring like that, and I will run completely in the opposite direction that he's telling me. I don't trust his judgment just based on the hair. A plot twist. Who is this Santa on spring break? Well, it's John's recovery specialist. Sean? Sean who? How did he get here? Why is he out of prison? Oh God, someone prepare Lacey's vagina because it's going to be getting some use soon. I know that sounds really crude, but listen, she works it for a living and, wow, I meant to tell you guys this the other week. You know how if you have a website, you can see what search terms people put in to get to your site? Well, I've had quite a few Lacey Love After Lockup cam videos, and somehow people get directed to my site. They are certainly not going to find that there, but I find it kind of funny because they're looking for Lacey and there's my big old ugly mug. Anyway, where are we? Right. Okay. So Jean got out of jail because this judge, I don't know, liked him, or maybe the judge knows Lacey's cam videos and he wants an autograph. John's out and he thinks that he and Lacey have a chance to get back together. Wonder why he would think that was an option. I'm sure Lacey has not been calling him, texting him, leading him to believe that, right? No, Lacey would never do that. Such an honest soul. Which leads us to our next scene. It's Shane with his friend in an Ace Hardware talking about how he cheated on Lacey. What a dick, but also, that's what happens. Lacey has admitted to cheating on every guy she's been with, so knock knock, that's karma, girl. Now let's talk about the very dark turn of events for Clint and Tracy. Clint is desperate to get Tracy out of jail. She's in Fort Worth. He's back in Hobbs, New Mexico. So she was charged with possession of methamphetamines. Her bond is $5,000, and she could be looking at anywhere from 2 to 20 years. I have a hard time joking about Tracy because it really is just sad. Clint, I don't feel as guilty about ripping on him because he's spoiled. He has a support system around him. It makes it easy for him to do the right thing, and he doesn't. But I feel like Tracy's case is just tragic, and I just want to scurry right past those two. I hope that they do better for themselves, but it's just really dark right now. Michael, Megan, and Sarah. Ooh, I'll get all my snark out on Michael. This boring asshole is playing basketball with his sister. And you know what sisters love hearing about? Speaking as a sister myself, we love hearing about our brother's number of sexual partners. Cue the Mambo number 5, bro. Let's talk about Megan on the thing. A little bit of Maria paying all your fucking bills. No, you guys, it's not that Michael's pimping. He's just doing himself. He is doing me. And that means that she is also doing her, and her is doing she, because Lord only knows what he is passing from woman to woman. Michael is, simply put, a piece of shit. He's the type of guy who's going to, you know, cheat on everyone, pass things to and fro. He's quite the sharer. And he's also the type of guy that says, I'm here for my kids no matter what, even wearing the fucking sweatshirt. You know, you wouldn't have to put a sweatshirt on to prove it if you actually did it. So Sarah calls him up with the receipts, hence the name of the episode. And Michael, thinking he has any right at all to talk back to her or to say that Sarah is out of bounds. No. Let me set this straight. She might be out of bounds in your mind, but now you're out of money and a phone. Shame on Megan and this Maria chick and whoever else Michael is with, because they've seen the show. They know who they are with. I don't feel any sort of sympathy for them because they are choosing this guy. It takes one episode to see what this guy's deal is. You don't even have to watch a whole season. You see one scene of him in one episode and you know he's an asshole. The only reason he's calling this Maria chick at all, he even admits it, is because he's going to need money once he gets to New York to see his kids, and while he's there to stay there in a hotel and all that kind of bullshit. Ladies across America, let's all join together, join our hands in womanly pride, and up our standards. Our collective bar is set far too low. Raise the bar, raise our standards. Jody 2024. Just kidding. I could never be in politics. I am far too self-conscious, and my extent of knowledge of the law is Schoolhouse Rock. That's about it. All right. Andrea and Lamar. Lamar's been sleeping on the couch because Andrea is a fucking monster. He's done nothing wrong but do exactly what Andrea has told him to do, yet here he is. Now, Andrea has some work to do. She's got to cover up a decade and probably several dozen lies, so she's got to fake pray, kneel next to her bed, and call Lamar in like, oh, geez, I didn't know you would catch me here kneeling on my knees praying against the bed like fucking Tiny Tim. Does anyone actually do that? I don't even know if they did that in biblical times. I think they even played it up to make it, you know, good for the stage. Perhaps someday they knew that Donny Osmond would come with Jesus Christ. Oh, no, he wasn't Jesus Christ Superstar. He was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? I think I got that right. Oh, and he was Mormon, too. Oh, see, it's all coming together now. Anyway, Andrea pretends like she has some sort of regret, and she tells Lamar that she accidentally told her friends about Priscilla's place of conception, and that's promise number 4,391 that she has broken. Another broken promise slash law was, of course, paying the trustee to have sex in the closet, which leads to yet another broken, covenant to her faith, having premarital sex. But you guys, she's serious about being a Mormon. It's super important that Lamar becomes a Mormon, is friends with all of her friends. It's her number one priority. That's why she needs Lamar to tell her older kids how she had sex with Lamar while he is in prison. Yeah, you heard me right. Andrea wants Lamar to take on her responsibility. I think this is such bullshit. She always puts it on Lamar, like he's the one who did these bad things. He's the one who forced her to pay a trustee to have consensual sex with her, which led to her planned pregnancy. Andrea's such a terrible person, and she's so untrustworthy even to her kids. I hope that her Mormon community really, I don't know, comes in with an intervention about her lying, because she truly is a pathological liar. Let's fast forward to this public outing. Yes, public outing. They took the kids out in public to tell them about their sexual past, their sexual tryst. And her oldest daughter is genuinely hurt. And of course she's going to be hurt because they're the last to know. Andrea's friends know, which means their community knows, the church knows, the camera crew knows, WeTV knows, and now, I suppose we should tell the kids. Like, how can you expect your kids to have these values that you want them to have and be truthful with you when you're lying all the time? The only thing they know is you lying. Ugh, Andrea, get it together. Okay, Cheryl and Josh are our last couple. They're back. And wouldn't you know it, when they're alone and there's no stress, they're perfect together. Yeah, well, when I'm alone and I don't have any stress or a mirror, I'm a size 2. That's just not the reality of reality, you dumbasses. And reality sure does come knocking right on Cheryl's head when she pisses off Tina. First, she tells Tina how lame her son Josh is for wanting to get married in that horrible, broke-ass medieval times. And then she says she wants to book the wedding in an insane asylum, a haunted insane asylum in Michigan. I mean, if she thought the castle was bad, but an insane asylum is, you know, really capturing the mood. Way to make memories for your kids, you fucking weirdos. Way to mess them up even more. Oh, can we go take a picture on the electrotherapy bed with our new daddy, Mom? Seriously, she's the fucking worst, and he is too. So Josh is outside talking to the camera crew, saying that he basically lets those crazy old broads, his bitches, be bitches while they're bitching at each other, and he tunes it out. And in real time, we hear, bam, Tina is yelling at Cheryl's son. Oh, actually, let me take that back. She wasn't yelling at Cheryl's son. She actually said in a fairly calm tone of voice, here, Brandon, go take this in the bathroom and clean up your mess. And Cheryl freaks the fuck out and says, he's 3 years old. Don't try to tell my son what to do. And that was the excuse me, you know what, bitch, slap. And Cheryl comes running out. Tina just fucking hit me. I'm done. Cheryl, you wanted to find a place of your own. You said you'd be happy to get a hotel room. So TikTok, now's the time. She definitely overstayed her welcome. And just for the record, I don't think Tina was being out of line telling a 3-year-old house guest, go pick up your stuff, put it in the bathroom, clean up your mess. That's not that bad. All right, well, that wraps up Love After Lockup. Get yourself in a prison state of mind, because after a quick break and a refill on my little ginger-infused water, we'll be back with 60 Days In. You did it again, A&E. You killed it with 60 Days In. 2 weeks in a row, I watched them back-to-back. I fucking love this show. Hands down, my favorite show that's on TV right now. Better than any documentary I've seen this year. I know we're only a month in, but It's amazing. If you aren't watching this show, you're missing out. And many of you left me reviews on iTunes saying that you never watched 60 Days In, but you were listening to these recaps and I bullied you into it. You're watching it and you love it. So if you don't listen to me, listen to our other listeners here. They're watching it. They're loving it. You should too. So let's jump right into it. And then I'm going to fill you in on a very deep dive that I just went on. You're going to love me at the end of this episode. All right, so this is episodes 4 and 5, Program in Peril and Mother's Day Mayhem. We already know that Matt and Jacob, aka Teapot, they've both tapped out. And I'm going to go through, let's talk about the guys first and then the ladies pod. Wow. All right, Alex. Alex is our, I hate to say it, but he's like the white boy, right? He's the numb nuts in there, doesn't really know what he's doing, but I think he kind of does. I have a lot of hope for our boy Alex. The last time he ran into the gym and he was going to start playing basketball, and these two guys run in, they take the ball away from him. And of course, we all feel exactly what it felt like back in elementary, middle school when the cool kids didn't want you playing with their shit. So he tells them that he got caught with 2 ounces of cocaine, but of course the two guys don't buy it because his story doesn't add up. 2 ounces of cocaine, I mean, come on. I don't know exactly what that means, but apparently, you know, it's a red flag for people who do cocaine. All I know, 2 ounces is what it is in a baby bottle, and it is a bitch to pump and dump that shit. Anyway, Alex doesn't fit in, and he's starting to be a little jealous of Dennis at first because Dennis, we'll get to him in a minute, he's fitting in, he's making friends, but that jealousy quickly turns into animosity, and I can't stand this guy, and we're all going to feel that pretty soon. Now, Dennis, knowing that Alex is in the program, I don't think he needs to be best friends with him, obviously, but he doesn't need to purposely be a dick. And that's exactly what Dennis is doing. Alex, as much as he looks kind of goofy, he's pretty smart. He knows that Dennis is just trying to show off for TV. Now, in the next episode, we catch up with Alex again and he's starving. Oh, God. So he decides to order a shitload of stuff from the commissary. He spends about $80. I started thinking about what I spend on groceries weekly for a family of 4. $80 is a lot of money, and I understand they probably charge a lot for this kind of shit because it's not necessary items. You know, it's like Butterfingers, Fritos, he bought honey buns, and come on. We all know how hard up people in prison are for honey buns. They will do basically anything. They will cut you from limb to limb to get their hands on those honey buns. Side note, did I ever tell you guys, I'm going to save it for Patreon. Remind me to bring up honey buns on Patreon. So, right, here we are with Alex. He gets a heads up by the skinheads and a guy named The Big Show, who I'm pretty sure was a WWE/F wrestler. They give him a heads up that you might want to take some stuff off your commissary because you're making yourself a target. You're going to get ganged up on. So Alex wises up, he sees that he's made a really shitty decision, takes money off his commissary, takes some Snickers off and all that kind of shit, not the peanut butter. So commissary day comes and Alex has got his eyes peeled, ears open, gets to that commissary delivery, fast feet, fast feet, fast feet, books it back to his cell. And watching this, I had my own ass cheeks clenched the entire time. I certainly would not have made the mistake that Alex realizes that he makes. He goes back into the pod with his e-cigarette, which I don't quite fully understand. Is that a vape? Is it not? All this stuff is new to me. But he goes out there with this e-cigarette and a Coke, and all the guys are taking advantage of it. He has to say yes, take as many hits off this thing as you want, because if he says no, he's going to get fucking cocked right upside the head. Is that a saying? Cocked right upside the head? Yeah, I'm real prison-y, guys. I would do amazing in prison. Don't cock me, bro. Well, that would take on a whole other meaning. Wow. All right, Dennis. Here we go. Dennis gives me the same kind of rage that Zach on Married at First Sight does. He is coming off like a real jerk. He's always flexing his muscles, walking around, you know, like he's the cool guy on campus because He's used to being the cool guy on campus. He's the quarterback. He's the star football player. Oh, fuck off. Now, the guards are also pissed off because he's walking around without his shirt on and he has no fear of authority. And that is really scary. I would love to know what high school was like for this guy, what college is like for this guy. Maybe that's why he didn't go pro, because they didn't want to deal with his fucking attitude, because he can't take any sort of criticism whatsoever. So one of the guards is in on the 60 Days In program, and that's the guy who's like, look around, no one else in this pod has their shirt off except you. And Dennis gives him attitude back, like, what? It's all wet. It's washing. What's the big deal? And then in his one-on-ones, he says, rules aren't for me. Oh, okay, well, I hope you have a lot of fun when you're locked up in the future because you made some really shitty decisions because rules weren't for you. Fuck you, Dennis. Now, then we have the officers come in and say that there's overcrowding in their unit, so they're asking for volunteers to go to Unit 6. Dennis's roommate fills him in that there are way less rules in Unit 6. There's also more access to drugs. And on a whim, because rules are not for Dennis and the rules of this program don't apply to him, apparently, he decides that he's going to volunteer to go to Unit 6. Well, this also means that there are no cameras and no production that are set up in Unit 6 to keep track of Dennis. So our officer Cheek or Peek, I forgot his name. He's the one that looks like Gary Shirley. I'm just going to call him Officer Shirley to keep things straight. Officer Shirley pulls Dennis out and he really goes in on him because he's fucking things up. How are they supposed to get to him if shit goes sideways? And also, how are they supposed to document all the stuff that they're trying to find that is wrong with the jail? But because, you know, Dennis is Dennis, he not only does not apologize, but he lies and doubles down on it. He says that the officer randomly called his name and was like, Quincy, Dennis, Leary, whatever the hell his name is, come on down. You won the big prize and you're going to go over to Unit 6. Fucking liar. They saw it on the cameras. And of course, Officer Shirley says that. So when Dennis has no defenses left, he then tells Shirley, don't raise your voice at me. Well, you can imagine the Mother Carol side eye that was coming out of my face. I couldn't believe my fucking ears. I felt as if it was my child telling me, don't raise your voice at me. And you really don't want to say that because, well, I couldn't even tell you what would happen because that would never come out of my children's mouth, which makes me want to have a real talk with Dennis's mom and dad or whoever fucking raised him, because that's not right. You don't speak to a grown man that is in charge of you, that's in charge of a jail like that. And then when they try to turn and go away and leave things on good terms, Dennis tries to squeeze his hand really hard just to show him, you know, who's boss. Where's that respect that you talk so highly of, Dennis? You want respect? You gotta fucking give it. So Shirley turns back around as he's walking out and is like, you know what? I don't want to hear another thing out of you. I may be putting words in his mouth, but this is how I was feeling. I don't want to hear another word out of your pretty little mouth. Get your shit and get back into pod four. Whatever I want to call it is what I'm calling it. The men's pod. Get your ass in there. No honey buns for you. He should have taken away his commissary, I'm just saying. Enter Tony. He is going to save the program. Tony is 32. I think he's kind of hot, especially that scary kind of hot. I love it. He's a corrections officer from Atlanta where we had previous seasons, so he really has a lay of the land. Not only how 60 Days In works, but he's a corrections officer, so he knows his shit and he is confident. I think this is going to work out great. Just watch him go down in a blaze of glory, but I'm holding tight. I'm holding on to my hope. He's also in the holding tank. Oh, look how that worked out. And two guys are about to pop off. But Tony's not worried. He's not even looking at the fight. He's looking to the side, left and right. He has got this thing in the bag. He's got the confidence. He's got the prison do's and don'ts down. He knows how to deal with roommates. His roommate that he gets paired up with likes to smoke a lot. He does things called clones. He also smokes heroin and crack, if you can smoke those things. I'm like the most successful DARE graduate ever. But Tony does not want to deal with that kind of shit. So he goes up to his room where there are now three guys. just tells them straight up, get the fuck out of here. You're not going to be smoking in here anymore. And they do it. It's amazing. It should be interesting to see how Tony and Alex get on. Alex needs someone. I would hope at the very least, maybe Tony just has a little eye out for him. We'll see. All right, let's go over to the ladies' pod. Let's catch up with Shanice first. She's got more of a problem with the staff than the inmates. She is not going to quit the program like I thought she was going to last week, but she needs to eat. She gets another serving of noodles, which of course is all gluten. And as she's complaining about it, and as our new inmate, Jennifer, who we'll get to in a minute, is getting annoyed with Shanice's complaining about the food, a fight breaks out. And this is a legit fight. There is swinging and kicking, uppercuts left after right. And this is where I have to turn my head because I just can't watch that shit happen. But Ashley loves it. It is entertaining for her. And I could see as a law enforcement officer who sees this shit every day, maybe when it's not in your work setting, it could be fun to watch, but I'm just not one of those people. I can't watch boxing. I can't watch the MMA stuff, but let's get back to Shanice. So she's eating some oranges that Ashley has managed to get from everyone else. And I'm wondering if Shanice could take this opportunity to hold on to some of those orange peels and make a little hooch out of it. Maybe she could use that as a barter system for more gluten-free food. Just an idea, no pressure. It's like Shark Tank over here. I'm all about women, female entrepreneurship. All right, so in the next episode, Shanice, oh man, she's pissed off because the bitch is back. Miss Williams strolls her fucking nasty ass in there, and the women in that pod could not fucking believe it. I couldn't either. Now, it's important to note that it is Mother's Day. She decides that she's going to punish the inmates' children, who they are calling, and their mothers by locking them in their cells. She calls for a lockdown. She will only let them out to take a shower. Shanice is more than pissed off because she's probably delirious at this point. She's hungry. She's been complaining the whole time how she doesn't have her gluten-free meals. And she's sad because she can't talk to her mom. It's the first time in her entire life that she has not been able to talk to her mom on Mother's Day. So while the women are taking turns going to their showers, there's a woman named Misty who goes to take her shower. And I wouldn't even say she gets that mouthy with Williams. She's just expressing that she's being a bitch and she's punishing them for no reason. And Williams is like, yeah, that's why I'm standing here. She steps into the shower. She takes out her pepper spray and she sprays the woman straight in the face from a very short distance. Then after the woman gets taken out because she sprayed pepper spray, which of course leads to the whole rest of the pod, Williams stays in there. The woman comes back, goes into her cell, and Williams keeps taunting her. She's mocking her, telling her, oh yeah, it must burn. She's knocking on her door, making fun of her, calling her a fat ass. Where's the oversight in all of this? Didn't they just have an officer that got killed a month or two ago, they said, when they first started the program? So what would happen if Misty would have just fucking attacked her right there in the shower? Are they going to have no one be able to come and save Williams because no one's freaking watching? And you know this isn't just isolated to Etowah County. There's a Miss Williams in every fucking jail and prison across the United States. Okay, let's get more on Williams later when we get into Ashley, but let's talk about Jennifer. So she's new to the program here. She was the one who didn't take the bloody sheet. She just assumed that she could get freshly air-dried linens when she went into intake, and she got them. And now when she's in the pod, she realizes that she too, much like Ashley, needs a bra. So she goes over to the CO and asks if she can get a bra because she got hers taken away. And the CO says that she needs to have a friend or family member bring her one, and it has to be white. Well, much like many inmates, I'm sure, that get locked up in there, she says that she has no one who lives around. She's not from there. So the CO calls down and asks what size she needs. 32 triple Ds, that a girl, I feel your pain. Or maybe they're not painful for her, but they fucking suck when they're natural. And the CO says they don't have anything her size. So miserable as anyone would be, she carries her boobs over to sit down, and then she meets Ashley. Now, of course, they've met one another, but they have to pretend like it's their first meeting. Ashley immediately offers to make her a bra, just like she did with her sheet. She made like that little halter thing. And wouldn't you know it, within, I don't know, it seemed like a matter of hours, there are women throwing their bras at her, literally taking off their bras and throwing them at Jennifer. There is something about Jennifer, she admits it, that everyone likes her, whether it's her perfect teeth, her hair, her lashes, her brows. She just has something about her that people want to open up and talk to her. I also have this gift. It is not because my teeth, hair, lashes, brows, or, you know, triple D's. I just have a face where people want to come up to me and talk to me about anything and everything that is not what I want to talk about. But I sit there and I listen and I become everyone's friend. It's a gift and a curse all at the same time. But in this case, it truly is a gift, and it's a gift given to her by God Almighty. God has delivered her bras and God has given her her microbladed brows. Now, later we find out that Jennifer is a very devout Christian, evangelical. I'm not quite sure what denomination she is, but she's very serious about it. She speaks in tongues. And her mission is, by the time she leaves, she wants the women in Etowah County Jail to be able to say, I feel God in this jail chilies tonight. Moving on to Ashley. She's the one who we thought got Williams fired a couple weeks ago, but yeah, that obviously didn't happen. Ashley's going through a rough patch with her husband too, so pile that onto everything else that she's going through in jail. She's having a real shitty time, and Rita left. Her roommate Rita left. I know we all miss her. But other than that, other than all the shitty stuff happening in her life, Ashley is making friends, she's feeling good, and then that fight that I talked about earlier broke out, and this is where shit goes sideways, because Ashley looks up directly into the camera and says, I fucking love this, and they zoom over, and that other inmate is staring at her and sees her say that right to the camera. So they go back to the cells during that lockdown, and you could hear the inmates talking about how they think Ashley's on 60 days in, because why else would someone look directly into the camera and say, I fucking love this? Now, a few hours later, after Ashley is giving Shanice the oranges from everyone, the inmate comes over and confronts Ashley and asks her, are you in 60 days in? And Ashley pretended like she didn't ever hear of the show. Thankfully, the friend that was with her was like, are you fucking crazy? Oh my God. But she's smart. I'm talking about the other inmate. She's smart because she knows that Ashley's court dates don't really add up, paired with her excitement about this fight. Whew, you're in danger, girl. Now, episode 5 is when Williams comes back and Ashley is fucking pissed. And she's also devastated because she finds out that her husband actually filed for the divorce. Now, the height of Ms. Williams' psychoticness comes when she starts banging on the walls. She's going on the metal doors with her keys. She's got the handcuffs making loud noises all fucking night for 12 hours. She's turning the lights on and off, on and off. Once again, where is the oversight? Not once does a supervisor make the rounds, go in and check. No one's calling on the switchboard. No one's seeing that lights are going on and off. Ooh, okay. Now, I got very curious on who this Ms. Williams is. I went so far as to search for Etowah County employee pay salary so I could try to find her first name. I couldn't find anything, don't worry. But I also searched Facebook, Twitter, and I ended up finding her first and last name. I'm not going to dock her, whatever the kids say these days. But I'll just tell you the information that I found on her. If you really, really want to know her name, she has pretty much deleted everything from her Facebook profile. She changed the picture. There's really nothing there. Her last name is Williams. I'll give you that. Now, I went into a Facebook group where they're talking about the show, and someone posted that Ms. Williams used to come into her place of employment. And I'm going to read this post to you because I thought it was so fucking hilarious. It says, LOL, she's not a very nice person in the mornings. Because some other people were saying, I went to high school with her. She used to be nice, which, okay, that was probably 20 years ago. She could be a fucking bitch since then. She used to come where I work and order a well done, this is in quotes, sausage biscuit. And she would straight up trip the fuck out if it wasn't so burnt you could break your teeth on it. I didn't know better, and I just got it black on both sides, and she put it in my face and tried to tell me it might as well have been raw, and then she finally stopped coming in, and we were all like, thank God, LOL. Of course, Ms. Williams is gonna like a fucking char-burnt sausage biscuit. That is just what an evil bitch would eat for breakfast. Now, it looks like she is not currently working there, according to this Facebook group where someone said their sister has been in there, but they haven't been able to get in contact with her. But she doesn't think Miss Williams is still employed there. I also did some digging and I found that winter 2020 is when there's supposed to be some major jail renovations. So does that mean currently or does it mean November, December 2020? If you live in the area and you hear something, let us know. We all love a good makeover, a good remodel, unless it's with those horrible, annoying, weird as fuck looking alien twins on HGTV. You know who I'm talking about. All right, well, that does it for this week. Make sure you check out Patreon. I actually am going to include all the juiciest parts from Demi Moore's autobiography. I just finished the audiobook, and there are some really hot, gossipy items in there that I haven't heard on any other podcast or interview. That's at patreon.com/realitybpod. Make sure you check out Total Request Podcast and Bold Lip Happy Hour. And of course, leave a 5-star review if you love what you hear. I really appreciate all those reviews, and it definitely helps out independent podcasters. Thank you so much. You guys have an amazing week. Take care of yourself. Take care of the people you love. And as always, stay salty.